Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, April 2nd. I'm Ray Graff. It's a busy and exciting time in the sports world. Just to give you a taste, we have Major League Baseball underway. Final Four matchups in both women's and men's college basketball. All set. The NHL and NBA playoffs are coming into focus. The NFL draft is coming up. And if you're anybody but a Knicks fan, The season's pretty exciting right now. Here to discuss all of this and more, a trio of sports fanatics. Brittany Devane is with CBS 6 Albany. Ashley Miller comes to us from News Channel 13. And Howard Herman is in the studio by way of the Berkshire Eagle. So if you have a sports question, give us a call. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Sports after the news. Hello again, sports fans. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Exciting time in the sports world, and here to discuss all of it is our trio of experts. Brittany Devane is the sports director at CBS 6 in Albany. The Massachusetts native joined the station in 2015 after 3 years as a sports reporter and anchor in Maine, of all places. Ashley Miller is a sports photojournalist with News Channel 13 in Albany, a Capital Region native. Ashley spent 5 years as a sports producer at YNN in Albany before joining News Channel 13 in 2013. Howard Herman has been a staple at the Berkshire Eagle in Pittsfield for hundreds of years. He is a sports reporter and a columnist. Brittany, Ashley, Howard, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Okay, we'll turn your mics on.
Yeah.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email the program, and it might not be a bad idea, at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Where to begin, people? Where to begin?
I was crushed today to learn that there's no more spring football.
Oh, did they close down the AAF?
Without ever having seen one snap, they're gone.
I hardly knew ye.
I saw a little bit.
I liked
not
it.
Not much.
I thought it was fun. It was good. I mean, there were enough NFL cast-offs that I said, oh, I know those guys. And the quality of play was watchable.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad. It's gone, huh?
It's all gone. And I'm just crushed.
I thought it had the tacit backing of the NFL.
The tacit backing of the NFL, but not a financial backing of the NFL, which is the problem.
Well, I mean, you know, it could be said that the NFL already has a minor league. It's college football, right?
Sure. I think that's fair. We see all of these leagues really struggle, except for, hey, the Arena League in Albany did pretty well last year.
Sure, I was going to say, it's only year two, but we're adding teams,
but
which is a positive thing.
Yep. More than they can say about AAF. That's,
well, the original arena football, the Albany Firebirds, mm-hmm. that were here way back when, that was exciting.
Wildly
stuff.
Exciting and successful.
Very crowded.
Wildly
and then they pulled
exciting.
The team and went to what, Indianapolis?
Indianapolis, yeah.
And so I hope that doesn't happen here if the Arena Football 2, or whatever they call it, takes off. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Well, the Final Four is set, and I thought we would go around the room and get our thoughts about the matchups. Let's see. We have Oregon versus Baylor on Friday, early game, and then this is the women's. Connecticut versus Notre Dame is the late game. The men's is in Minneapolis, I believe. It's Auburn against Virginia. Texas Tech against Michigan State. That's on Saturday. Brittany.
All right. I'm going to parlay here.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Go.
We're doing UConn. I can't in good conscience vote or cheer for Notre Dame. I wanted to go to school there. They rejected me. So.
Did they really?
See ya.
So this time it's personal.
It is personal. Okay. I'm going UConn and I'm going
Auburn.
I was going to say Auburn or Michigan State. Yeah, why not? Cheer for the underdogs.
Oh, you're picking
Auburn.
National champ.
Oh, yeah.
You're not even going like
parlay. No. I'm going. I'm parlaying my national champs here.
Okay.
I can.
You know what? I'm actually going to agree
right
with
through.
You
Ooh.
On both of those. I think UConn showed me something, and I know that they're going to be the underdog against Notre Dame, but that was an exciting game down at the Times Union Center. All right, Howard, what's your pick?
I agree with UConn. I thought the biggest shot of the game came in the first quarter. When Katie Lou Samuelson hit that three, made it 7-0. I said, okay, she's healthy. yeah. or relatively healthy. She went on to score 29 and had a tremendous game. Men's tournament, I got to go chalk and go Virginia. I do not like how Auburn plays. They play no defense. I think there are three teams in the Final Four that play defense like crazy. And that's, of course, Texas Tech, who plays defense the best, Michigan State, who has the best coach in Tom Izzo, and Virginia, who plays that kind of slow style. And I think, I just feel, Virginia's been on a quest this year after that, horrible game last year when they lost, when they were the second team in NCAA history to be to lose to a 16 in the first round.
All right, Ashley Miller.
I am going to go Virginia versus Texas Tech, and I'll go Virginia over Texas Tech. Really good defensive game, which I know maybe a lot of people won't like to watch, but I think I love this year's Final Four. I love the different teams.
Yes.
I love the opportunity to crown a new national champion and people who haven't been in the Final Four before. On the women's side, I'm going to go chalk. I'm going to go Baylor, Notre Dame, and I'm going to go Baylor.
Ooh,
as
all
your
right.
national
so
champion.
Two number one seeds will be fighting it out for the championship.
Yeah.
It's a shame you and Howard are wrong about Auburn, because Auburn is...
High five.
Well, there you go, Brittany. That didn't play well over the radio.
No, well, just high five.
At least you didn't knock over my coffee.
Ooh, important things.
But Auburn, I mean, I just like the mojo. I've been watching the entire tournament, and something about them, man. Something about them. Well, the number here is 800-348-2551. We have baseball to talk about and a bunch of stuff. But let's go to Jeff for a lacrosse question. Hello, Jeff. You're on.
How you doing?
All right, man. What's up?
Sorry to switch subjects, but I'm very active in the local lacrosse community. And I was just wondering why there isn't any coverage on scores in the local area with the college teams. You know, given the fact that, Albany is a huge lacrosse-playing school in Marist.
I don't know, man. I've seen Albany lacrosse games on TV, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was going to say,
we've had every women's and men's, highlights, scores for the local teams. So I'm not sure which station you're watching.
Maybe
but...
he's talking about WAMC.
I'm talking about WAMC. I'm an avid listener in the morning with the sports scores, and it'd be nice to hear
some
college sports.
We'll tell Jesse King to throw those in there. She does the sports in the morning, and I got to be honest with you, I'm a little bleary-eyed when I get here. I know that the sports are on usually when I get here, but we'll mention it. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much. And now let's go over to line two. We'll go over to line two, Northampton. Dan, you're on.
Hi, Ray. It's Dan in Northampton, and I think you're great. I love you on all the shows at AMC.
Tremendous.
The one thing, though, is I'm a big Patriots fan, and I recall you saying negative things about Tom Brady in the past.
Oh, that's not true.
Nobody says negative things about Tom Brady.
The last time he was on, I said he was the greatest quarterback of all time. Last time we had the sports show,
Well, that's because you can't deny that, but I think back in Deflategate, you were
throwing
some disparaging comments.
Cheaters who cheat. I mean, let's face it, right?
Well, anyway, and also, just to put in my two cents on the basketball, I think Texas Tech, I think, is surprisingly good. They beat Gonzaga, which was my favorite. And also, I like UConn, too.
It's a shame you're all wrong about that. Auburn, sir.
Dan,
thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the number. Anybody watching baseball yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. By the way, just one quick thing. I saw Bruce Pearl. I don't know Bruce Pearl personally, but I covered him back when his first head coaching job was at Division II Southern Indiana.
Yeah.
Back when Springfield, Mass. Used to host the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
And I'd see him and there a couple times. He's a BC grad. He's a New England guy.
Yeah.
So, there's obviously some rooting interest. Of course, he also, Auburn has also been put on probation before, so.
They all have. I mean, come on, Howard. This is
not all of them.
21st century now, right? Or something like that? 22nd are we up to? I'm not sure. Let's take a break here, Zach. 800-348-2551. I want to talk a little bit baseball because, as you know, this year, 2019, is in fact the year of the Mets, and we'll be back to discuss that with Ashley Miller, Brittany Devane, and Howard Herman, and you at 800-348-2551 in a moment. Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. Two great things that go great together, public radio and sports. Well, I don't know. We'll find out. Brittany Devane is here from CBS 6. Ashley Miller is here from News Channel 13. And Howard Herman from the Berkshire Eagle, all here to talk sports. Before we get back to the phones, baseball underway, Yankees with injuries. Oh, boy, Ooh, Ashley.
Do they ever.
What the heck? They might as well be the Mets.
Yeah, might as well be, but at least it's – I mean, I'm not going to take a whole lot away from any record in the next 20 games with this team because they're so injured. Like, you're without your best pitcher in Luis Severino. You're now without Giancarlo Stanton for at least 10 games, but probably more. Miguel Andujar possibly out for an extended period of time. Luckily, they have guys that can fill those positions. They have so much talent in terms of, like, when you sign a guy like a LeMahieu who can play various positions, Gleyber Torres can play various positions. They won't be hurting in terms of defensive, you know, whatever, but it's just going to be trying to score runs and trying not to give up so many runs when you're battling these injuries.
And, you know, with Andujar getting hurt, the Tulowitzki signing looks smarter and smarter and smarter.
And that's the thing. They've plugged – they made some, I think, what people would say questionable, like Tulo is getting up there in age, but he's a veteran guy who can fill in when you need him to. Same thing with LeMahieu. Like, he's a proven guy. He did great things in Colorado, and now it looks pretty smart when you're trying to plug holes for the time being. They have the guys to do it, and I think still be able to win some games.
Before we go over to Howard, I just want to mention one thing that you had mentioned, that it's early and records don't count.
If you look, that they don't count, but I'm not going to put a whole lot into the Yankees record at this point.
However, look at the way the scheduler handled the Mets and the NL East. They are front-loaded. Mm-hmm. If they are hot now,
win now.
They or conversely are terrible now,
sure.
They could be buried by middle of May. They have so many games with the Nats. And by the end of the season, it's all – I mean, I think the Nationals end the season with, like, the Indians. It's not even a National League game.
And vice – on the other side, like, the Red Sox are on the West Coast for the first 10 games of – and they don't play a division opponent. So.
Has the Red Sox season started?
You haven't noticed?
Not really.
No.
You haven't felt the disruption in the force?
Oh, it's West Coast. Nobody's seen it. Nobody's watched it. So that means falls.
You cannot win.
A lot of runs, that team.
You cannot win a division title in April. You can lose it. Absolutely can lose it. If you end up being 5-20 after April, you're buried. So you just want to kind of be at best, at worst, 500-ish, 400-ish, and then you can get going once it gets warm.
We'll see.
Yeah, but if you're not playing division opponents, then it doesn't matter.
It does matter because all those games count the same. You don't get more points for playing in your division. You get just as many. It matters just as much if you get swept by the Indians as if you get swept by the Red Sox.
No.
If you win your division, you go to the playoffs, so it doesn't,
But you got to win enough games.
All right, we'll get back to the phones here. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Howard Herman, Ashley Miller, and Brittany Devane are here to answer your sports questions. One email came in from Dale. A big 49ers fan here. How does the panel think they will look in the fall?
I can answer this one.
Are you a 49ers fan?
I am not, but I am marrying one.
Oh, really?
Yes, my fiance is a big 49ers fan, so I get updates with him all the time. He seems very pleased by the signings that were made in the offseason. Of course, I have extensive experience watching and covering the Patriots.
Yeah.
So Jimmy G, he's looked good, in the past. And from what I hear, my sources say that the 49ers are making the right moves.
It may be a little sour come fall and winter in your household. You better not be too smug about the Patriots.
It's all good until they meet the Super Bowl, I guess.
Well, that may be a while. The number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go over to John in Saratoga. John, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon. Hi. I'm calling. I'm very pleased to see Ashley on the news as a woman doing sports. I have a young daughter who's a freshman at college playing ice hockey, and sports have been fantastic for her as a girl and then as a woman growing up. And as I mentioned, she plays ice hockey. Why is there not more coverage of ice hockey in the area, and especially women's ice hockey with Albany Academy and the other colleges, RPI and Union, having Division I women's teams? I'd like to see more of that in our I'd like to see more sports coverage than all the negative news we have. They should give you guys more time on the air, especially.
Oh, well, that's
nice. A good place to start.
Yeah.
There is only so much time. I know we make it a point to get to at least a couple Union or RPI hockey games every year on the women's side. We covered extensively RPI's goaltender, Lovisa Salander, one of the best in the nation, the best in the nation, arguably, this year. Did plenty on her. So, you know, it's one of those things. If we could do 10 seconds on everything, I still wouldn't have enough time. So it's about fitting things in where you can. We do make it a point to give everybody a little bit of love. You know, you got to go where the attention is as well.
Regionally. I mean, we had Clarkson and Cornell who were in the Frozen Four this year, right?
Yeah. And listen, when Clarkson comes to town, you make it a point to get to, say, RPI or Union because the storyline is there. So it's tough because at least Union in the past 5 years has really struggled. And so we've done feature stories to try to highlight the positives of a team like that. But it's hard to cover their games, you know, when they're not scoring goals or, you know, and you don't want to highlight the negative. So we try to find other ways to be able to highlight the positive things that the program is doing. And like Brittany said, Salander was arguably the best goaltender in the country. And she got what I would consider a pretty lot of love this year from local TV stations. But those are the things that you want to see, and you try not to draw attention to the negative. So maybe fewer games in the way of highlights, unless you get a good story like a Clarkson or a Cornell coming to town. And that's really, really good for the ECAC that they have programs like that in the Final Four. And winning national championships at Clarkson is amazing to me. It's amazing what they've been able to do there.
You know, our caller did make a good point in that there's not enough time for sports on the TV broadcast. In the average half hour standard newscast, how much time do you get, Brittany?
I have 2 minutes at 6 o'clock, 2 minutes at 6:30. I treat that as four individual minutes. So 4 minutes in an hour.
two plus two being four.
Well, some people could repeat the same thing. But, you know, for example, the other day I had some feedback that was very upset. We didn't show baseball highlights on opening day at 6 o'clock. And we did a feature story on the women's basketball tournament being in Albany. That feature story took up my 2 minutes. I had 2 minutes of Major League Baseball highlights at 6:30. So this person had happened to watch at 6. Anyways, I'm just saying, it's all about how you...
It's not enough time. That's the bottom line.
And I actually do get 7.5 minutes at 10:30 on CW 15. If you would like to tune in, there's a small plug for the Upstate Sports
Edge.
There you
go.
So it is a little bit more time.
Is it about the same for you guys, Ashley?
Yeah, we do 2:30 at 6 and 3:30 at 11. Hmm. And then weekends we get much more. We get 5 minutes and 6 minutes.
The number here is 800-3. How much time do you get for the sports?
We have the same issue, except it's with number of pages. You know, normally we don't have enough pages to put in what we want to put in. Some days we get more, some days we get less.
Right.
We can ask for unlike the TV folks, you can't expand an hour. You can't turn an hour into an hour in 10 minutes.
Right.
We can, on really busy days, turn 6 pages into 8 pages or 9 pages, whatever we need on a championship Saturday. But,
newspaper. So I was trying to explain this to my son the other day. You know, we were watching, I get up very early and I have Major League Baseball channel on and watch the highlights from the night before. And I was trying to tell my son, back in the old days when we had 3 channels around here, I looked at the box scores every morning, and I said, you can figure out what happened in the entire game by looking at the box score. And, you know, these kids today, I don't think they – you, Brittany and Ashley, you're younger. Do you ever look at the box scores?
I used to do that. That's how – when I first started getting into baseball, I'd wake up and I'd look at the box score in the morning. But now it's just so accessible. Now I just –
I was going to say,
I can sit here and look in my phone in 3 seconds and tell you what happened last night.
You kids today with a phone.
The ESPN app has a box score.
Push alerts? Yeah. I don't even have to look. It finds me.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's like the Jetsons now. Let's go to Major and Saugerties. Major, you're on.
Hey, thanks. I'm calling regarding this last weekend's match play golf tournament, and there was a particular match between Matt Kuchar and Sergio Garcia where Garcia rushed a putt, missed a 6-incher, and then it looked like a lot of the sports writers were on Kuchar's case for not conceding the putt. It seemed to me he didn't have a chance to do it, but I want to know what you thought about that. And then also, is it maybe it's time to get rid of this concession of putts and go into, you know, the way it's in metal play. But I just wanted to get your ideas on both those things.
All right. Who wants to go first?
I, number one, hate the idea of conceding a putt. I hate it. I saw it. I mean, they do it like Ryder Cup. They do that. I hate it. If it's so easy, then put the 6-inch putt in, and right. if you miss it, that's on you. I hate the idea of conceding putts.
Brittany.
I like how fired up Ashley is about this.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to sit back and let her go off.
All right, Howard.
I didn't see, so I'm not familiar with what actually happened because this weekend we were all busy at the Times Union Center, you know, watching basketball.
Yeah.
But, yeah, make the putt.
Mm-hmm.
If they said you can't concede it, I'm okay with that.
Go ahead, Major.
The other thing that was bothering me was that Kuchar. If you saw the replay, I don't think he had enough time to even concede if he wanted to. But I agree. I think that the conceding putts is kind of crazy. And then also my last thing is, when are you going to start covering more curling? Come on.
Thank you very much for that. That was another show, but we'll certainly get back to it.
Curling's tough to find on TV these days.
I saw some, I think, women's curling on one of like the 1,000 sports channels I have on cable.
I was going to say way up.
Actually, I think the NBC Sports Network runs it like almost nightly now.
Yeah.
I'll get home from work and I'll sit down in the den. I'll be flipping around and there's curling.
Curling is fun to watch. It's like that. You ever see that slow TV where they just put the camera on the front of the train in Sweden and you just watch the countryside go by? That to me is like curling. It's very relaxing.
Fun to play too.
Have you done it?
I've dabbled.
Really?
Not a full game, but doing stories.
I did a story once heading into the Olympics. It's really hard.
And really,
really hard.
You wear shoes, right? You don't wear skates.
Yeah, you wear shoes
and you put a little attachment onto the shoes. Yeah.
See, I would fall down.
Yes.
Yeah, it's easy to fall.
Right. And then somebody is the brusher, right? What do they call the brusher?
Is it sweeper?
They have three
sweeper.
Of those. Yeah, three sweepers. The
physics behind that is we're creating little droplets of perspiration on the ice.
Yeah. So the ice is textured to begin with, and so then when you rub over it, that ice melts or gets a little softer, and then your rock is able to travel farther and faster.
Yeah. So this is public radio, and now we're talking about curling again. So Mark McGuire, if you're listening, it's back. 800-348-2551 is the number. 2:32 on a Tuesday. It's Vox Pop Sports Today with Ashley Miller, Brittany Devane, and Howard Herman. And George is in Catskill. Hello, George.
Hi, Ray. How you doing?
Yeah, you know, we're hanging in there. How about you?
Oh, very good. Thank you. My question for the panel, what about Gerard next year going to play basketball at Syracuse? I'll hang up and wait to listen for the answer, okay?
It's a Big Ten 4. What do you think, Brittany?
It was pretty open-ended, so I think we could probably spend the next half an hour, at least I could, talking about Gerard Syracuse. What he did this year was just so special, and I think we'll certainly miss the content and the storyline when he's gone. For my own selfish reasons, glad he's staying in state for more opportunities to cover him. Listen, I see some of these kids play in this tournament, and I could just see him stepping up and making a big impact this time next year. It's hard to not root for him. I know we're not supposed to be biased as this, but I cheer for the people that I cover. I want to tell positive stories. I want to tell stories about people winning. So I'm wishing him all the best, and it was a blast covering him in high school.
I have a question about that because we do not cover them on the other side of the border. Does he get all of these points in the flow of his offense? Is he just, you know, getting the ball and shooting?
He is the offense.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy to think, but in some of the games that he scored 50 and 60 points, they won by fewer than 10. So they needed him to score 50 and 60 points. They a lot of times need him to be the catalyst and the guy. And now in their Federation tournament game, they doubled him, like denied him access to the ball and forced the other four guys on the floor to beat them. And guess what? They did. So as for how he's going to do, I think it'll be really interesting. And it's so funny how often this comes up in the media. Like when I was sitting at States in Binghamton and there were people from Syracuse Station saying, well, what do you think? What do you think you've seen? What do you think? It's like everyone wants to talk about it. I think it's really interesting, and only time will tell. I'm interested to see if his height is going to be an issue or lack thereof, I guess. He's listed at 6'1". To play in a Syracuse zone at 6'1 is not going to be
That's
easy.
That's going to be an issue,
he can
for
shoot,
sure.
He can shoot with the best of them. I don't know that, you know, he's going to be standing in a corner, just kind of waiting for people. She's going to have to develop kind of an offensive skill set, and he's a really, really good passer, and I think that will benefit him. But I'm really interested to see if he can play defense at the next level, especially when he is guarded by someone who's 6'3", or 6'4", or 6'5".
Because it's fascinating to watch it from a distance.
Yep.
I don't, because you guys get to go to games and watch a lot of it. I see the 20 seconds of highlights you all run, and we see the numbers, and you say, holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, how do you do that? You know, but, you know, and you just sometimes you wonder, you know, is he just coming down and shooting, or do they run, you know, do they just run everything for him?
I guess my thought is if it was easy, everybody would do it. He's the only person who's doing what he's doing. He's a freak athlete, and some part of it is the numbers speak for itself. Other part is, like Ashley said, he is the offense. But again, if it was easy, you'd see more people doing it, and nobody has even come close.
No, I mean, they run the offense for him. I mean, there are times when he'll pull up from what feels like midcourt from the logo, or he'll pull up from three in transition, and he makes it. And other times he will admit, like, listen, I started the game 0-for-8. I really struggled to shoot it. He's not going to be needed to do that at the next level. They don't need him to shoot 25 times a game at Syracuse. They may need him to score points because they're losing Tyus Battle. They may need offense, but they're not going to need him to shoot 25.
However, that's a double-edged sword because, you know, when you're the whole offense, you're ice cold for the first eight.
Yeah.
You're still going to shoot. You're ice cold on a bigger team. You are not getting that
correct.
Many chances.
And that's the difference. You will not get the chances. And I think he's going to understand that. He plays AAU. It's a very different scenario than when he's playing for Glens Falls. So I think he'll be able to adapt a little more easily because he's been in that situation with an AAU team where he's surrounded by really good players.
All right, let's jump back on the phones here. 800-348-2551. Whose phone is ringing?
Oh, that was mine.
Herb.
It's not ringing. It was sending me a message.
All right. Now, we call that pulling a Shartok here. Don't do that. All right. Don't have your ringer on.
It's a Massachusetts thing.
John in Albany, you're on.
Hi there. You were just talking about Syracuse basketball, and I had a question about it, a more general question. I used to work in Rochester, which I think is almost equally distant from Syracuse, except on the west side that Albany is in the east. And I always used to notice that there was a lot more interest in Syracuse basketball there than there is here. And that may be because of the presence of Siena. But Rochester has a lot of basketball schools, too. And just wondering why you thought that was.
As the neutral party in this, it's strictly because the Albany area has two Division I schools. And Rochester, even though the University of Rochester is one of the best Division III schools in the country, it's still Division III. There's no Division I basketball in Rochester, so Syracuse becomes the home team.
And living in Albany and having grown up in Albany, I feel like Syracuse is still people's priority. Like when they came through here in 2003, you would have thought the school was 10 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
I just think so many people care, and whether or not it's true, they brand themselves as New York's college team, and I think it's funny because the reach is crazy what Syracuse had. People in Buffalo care. People in Plattsburgh care. People downstate care. It's amazing the reach that they have, but it's the biggest D1 school, and I think that's just kind of why people gravitate towards it.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Sports Today with Ashley Miller, Brittany Devane, and Howard Herman. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, and it's Sports Today at 800-348-2551. Howard Herman from the Berkshire Eagle, Ashley Miller from News Channel 13, and Brittany Devane of CBS 6 here to talk sports with you. Before we jump back on the phones, you know, we were talking about the local phenom, basketball phenom. Just jump it up to the college level for a minute and just talk about Zion and Duke, obviously, out of the tourney, but the Knicks have a shot. I was complaining about this before the show started. The Knicks have a 14% shot of getting this ridiculous athlete. If they are the worst team, why shouldn't the Knicks automatically be able to pick whoever they want?
Theoretically, that's correct. But the NBA and the NHL want to try to prevent teams from tanking.
It doesn't help. Look at the Sixers. It doesn't help. I mean, they did that.
They did that. They're a playoff team. They never got the number one pick, except until they got Simmons. But that's what they try to do. They don't want a team to go 0-82.
Theoretically, capitalism will take care of that. If you stink, less people should go. I mean, listen, I've been a Mets fan since I was a little tot. And there are times you go to Mets games, there are about 12 people there.
I've never seen you this fired up before.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
No.
All right, Brittany Devane, you go ahead.
Well, I guess I don't necessarily disagree with it. I mean, every league kind of does it their own way.
But the bottom three teams all have equal chance. It doesn't make sense to me.
I agree.
Thank
Listen,
you.
The NFL does it. The worst team gets the first pick.
Right.
That's how it goes. Yeah, I think you see tanking less in the NFL, or maybe people perceive it that way less, that they're tanking. And I still don't know that there are teams, like, it seems like the Knicks are just really bad. They go out there and play every night, and they're just bad.
But I watch them all the time, and I like them.
Yeah, sure.
I like what Fitz is trying to do.
Sure.
And, you know, they got some young guys who are good.
Well, the one difference in the NBA compared to the NFL, one player can completely turn
Correct.
Your team around.
Sure.
That can't, you know, even if the first pick in the NFL draft is the next Tom Brady.
Right.
He doesn't turn a team around by himself. Zion Williamson can turn the Knicks, the Phoenix Suns, into a playoff team just next year.
I'm not sure if I believe that.
I agree with you there, Ashley.
Maybe the Suns, but I don't think the Knicks. Yeah. I just don't know that
now,
he would.
Now, if there
would.
Were three Zions,
yeah,
we got
exactly.
a shot. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Mark in Conway, Massachusetts. Mark, you're on.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to have you see what you have to say about the UMass hockey team making it to the Frozen Four.
So
everybody at our shop is just all over it.
They're playing Denver, right? And
They are playing Denver, and Providence is playing.
Going up.
Yeah,
and Providence plays Minnesota Duluth in the other. UMass should be the favorite. They have the best player in the country in Cale Makar, who, if he does not win the Hobie Baker, which is hockey's Heisman Trophy, there is no justice in the world. But Greg Carville, the coach at UMass, pulled one of the gutsiest moves I have seen a hockey coach do. In the Hockey East semifinals, he changed goalies. Matt Murray had been playing a lot. He changed to Philip Lindbergh. And Lindbergh not only helped them win the Hockey East title, but pitched back-to-back shutouts.
What's the backstory? Just poor performance or injury? Was there an injury undisclosed?
Poor performance or not great performance. Let's put it that way. I want Matt Murray to leave UMass and sign with Pittsburgh, because then they could have two goalies named.
Yeah.
They could have two Matt Murrays as goaltenders.
Confuse everybody so badly.
But I think UMass is the best team in the tournament. What they did to Notre Dame on Saturday was just really off the charts. You know, just
dominated
the game from the opening
faceoff.
Absolutely
unreal.
I'm in this weird situation of being a BU hockey fan where, like, to cheer for somebody in your conference or to not cheer for somebody in your conference? You know, UMass owned the Hockey East all year, so do I cheer against the team?
You can't do that.
No, I'm on board. So, anyways, the end result of my qualms this whole week has been, you know what? I'm cheering for UMass. I'm born right outside of Boston, and it would be nice. It's such an underdog story. Mm-hmm. They came out of nowhere. I remember when they were an afterthought when I was in college. Out of nowhere to put this run together, so it'd be great to see him finish it off.
Well, thank you for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Ashley Miller is a sports photojournalist with News Channel 13 in Albany. Brittany Devane, sports director at CBS 6 in Albany. And Howard Herman is at the Berkshire Eagle. For those who still know how to read, it's a newspaper, and it's in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. What are you covering these days, Howard?
Right now, we're in about a four-day period of nothing.
Yeah.
Because the weather's been too bad for the spring sports to really get out and play. So, in fact, I've been seeing on my email all day, you know, schools are sending you notes saying, hey, we're not playing today. We're going to play later on. Most of the baseball coaches I talk to say their schedules don't start till next week.
Yeah.
Which is actually pretty smart.
How about
we've
you?
We started here, spring sports, baseball, softball, lacrosse. College lacrosse tomorrow, UAlbany and Siena women both play in the afternoon, so we'll be covering that. UAlbany spring football has started.
Spring football, I can't get used to that.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, it's practice,
yeah,
but we cover it, yeah. You know, just to see kind of see where they're at and where they think they might be in the fall when they come back in the summer.
Brittany Devane.
One of the things we're covering today is HVCC baseball. If you don't know the name, Jackson Wenstrom, learn it. He was a freshman last year, a little bit older. He served time, I believe, in the Army. I apologize if I have that wrong, but he's a great story. He is immensely talented. So if you can, maybe get out to one of those games and see him in action. He's batting like .480 right now. He is ridiculous.
And do they play at the Joe?
At the Joe.
They do.
Which is
it's a great place to see a game.
Such a fun game to watch.
And Joe Altieri's there. New head coach.
There you go.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Timothy in Scotia. Timothy.
Yes. I'm a great basketball fan that we've been concentrating most of the time on. Have you ever seen an NBA team as pitiful as the Knicks?
Oh,
I have. When I was in
you
college.
Who?
When I was in college. I went to college in Philadelphia in the 70s and saw the 8 and 72 Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, that was before Dr. J came on board.
Way before Dr. J came on
board. Back in those days, I was watching Dr. J play for the Nets because my grandmother had a house in Hempstead, so we would go down to the Nassau Coliseum and watch them.
But that was the worst. That might have been the worst professional sports team I have ever seen anywhere.
All right, fair enough. And, you know, there's something about the Knicks. I want to not watch them, but I've watched them all season, and I find them very entertaining.
They're likable.
Yeah.
They're likable guys, too. The players are likable. I mean, they have talent. It's just a matter of maybe not enough or it doesn't work together. I'm not sure. Zion would help, though.
Well, yeah, I guess. Although the center.
So would John Morant. Any of those guys would help.
I suppose. I guess there are a few draft picks that, you know, draft lottery
like
picks.
It's a strong class.
Yeah.
I saw John Morant last week in Hartford. And he was as breathtaking a player as I have ever seen.
Yeah.
He had a triple double in the win over Marquette. Mm-hmm. And he had more assists than he had points.
Yeah.
And he had 11 rebounds.
That'll stop in the NBA.
No, he can make every pass.
Yeah, I would say Trae Young has continued to make assists, and I think people really doubted him because of his size.
Yeah.
He's gotten better all year long.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Sports today on the Vox Pop, and Tim and Troy. Tim.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Say, what I wanted to talk about is, and I understand that you have to sell papers, and I understand you have to get viewership, but this thing about Zion Williamson being the next coming, I think the media has overhyped the poor boy.
He's pretty good. He's a phenomenal athlete, and he's a freshman.
There's a difference because he's a pretty good college basketball player, and playing in the pros is different. And I've heard him, and not locally, but I've heard him expressed as a generational player. And somebody said he was going to be the next Magic Johnson, and I almost drove off the road.
Don't do that.
So we really got to give this kid a chance to breathe. He's 6'7", which is not huge in the NBA. He's 285 pounds, and he's 19 years old. He's going to be the second heaviest player playing in the NBA. He's only going to get bigger and slower.
Ashley, I think Ashley Miller might want to address your comments, sir.
Listen, people are calling him a generational talent because he's unlike any 19-year-old they've ever seen. I mean, the comparisons to LeBron are warranted just because purely because of his size. And despite the fact that he's 285 pounds, he's beating guys half his size to the basket. That's why people are calling him a generational talent. He's not a slow-plodding guy.
There have been a number of great college basketball players. Christian Laettner was a great college basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
He was an average, at best, pro basketball player. And when this Williamson kid, he has to stare somebody, he's going to have to play either a three or a four. And he's a tweener. Mm-hmm. But if he plays a three, he's going to see Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's 7'2" or 7'3" and can shoot threes better than he can. And he's quicker than he is. I'm not trying to downplay the boy's capability as a college basketball player. But please, generational, the next
okay, all right. Well,
let's see him play.
Yeah, all right. I don't disagree. I'm not. I wasn't the one who called him the next Magic Johnson, but he's generational, and that we have never seen anything like him aside from LeBron, who never played a college basketball game. Do you know what the hype surrounding LeBron James was coming out of high school? He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated,
and he lived up.
And they were saying the same exact things, and he lived up to it.
Yeah.
I think Zion is unlike anything we've ever seen. He averaged 26 points a game as a freshman. Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, none of those guys did that.
However, our caller makes a point in that given his size and weight, inevitably there are going to be some knee issues, even if they're tweaks down there. I mean, we saw what happened when the shoe blew up.
Sure.
So it's possible this is as fast as we will ever see him play.
Why? What's to say he doesn't lose weight?
Or gain height.
He's a 19-year-old kid, he could gain height still. And when he goes to a pro team, maybe they say, all right, a little less weightlifting.
Yeah.
Let's try and change your diet. Let's shed 15, 20 pounds. What will that do for his speed? He's already quick for a 285-pound guy.
He has a beautiful game. I mean, inside and outside.
It's unbelievable.
He can defend, and he's so quick. And the moves he makes, you go, wow, this guy's a mountain, and he just made that move
inside.
There
will be an adjustment. No one is saying he's going to go score 30 points a game at the pro level. There will be an adjustment.
But there is an element of hype. Now, last year, it was DeAndre Ayton. So we watched University of Arizona in our house. And unfortunately, this year was horrible. But we watch them every year. And this kid was great. His rookie season, not so great.
Yeah, okay.
It was all right.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Some of it's also where they go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, because there are great players that go on really bad teams and can't get out of their own way.
Yeah.
And I'll argue that Christian Laettner was just an average NBA player. Christian Laettner was in the league for 15 years.
Yeah.
And played a lot. So I think he had a pretty darn good, he wasn't, I don't know if he was as good a college player as people want to remember, or if he just hit the most iconic shot in his, I think that's probably why he gets more of a run than he should.
All right, let's go back to the phones, grab a couple of calls here. 800-348-2551, the number. Peter and Hurley. Peter, you're on.
Yes, sir. I want to go back to one of your original comments about Division I.
Yeah.
Colgate University, which you may have heard of down in Hamilton, New York, is Division I, the Level II. Now, let's compare Syracuse's graduation of varsity athletes compared to Colgate's. I happen to know that Colgate's is 98.2, and Syracuse, 2 years ago, graduated 18.9% of their varsity players. Now, whichever one of your guests said that there's really another, there's a minor league for the pros, was 101% right. Number two, and then I'll shut up.
Okay.
Well, why does WAMC hardly ever mention Colgate in its sports reports at 7:15 in the morning?
All right, again, I...
After all, we went to the Patriot League.
Yeah.
We've done that a couple of times. Donald Foyle played for the Warriors for 10 years. Mm. You're only 60 miles, 70 miles from Colgate, but you cover Syracuse like blazes.
Okay, man, you know what I'll do is, again, I kind of bleary-eyed and I roll in here at 7:15. I will tell our sports person in the morning about your comments, and we'll see what happens. I mean, we do cover seven states. That's the you got to kind of go with what's big.
There is no time.
Yeah, but going west, you kind of draw a line through Amsterdam.
Okay. Well, thanks, Peter. I appreciate it. Go ahead, Brittany.
No, I was just going to say, like I said earlier, if I could have 10 seconds for everything, I still wouldn't have enough time. There is just only so much.
I mean, Colgate got a ton of national love. They were the Cinderella of the NCAA tournament. I mean, people were rooting for them. Mm-hmm. They gave Tennessee a run for their money. Like, they gave them all they could handle for more than a half.
All right, let's go over to Dave and Rhinebeck. Hello, Dave.
Hey, hello, Ray. I love all of your shows. I have a quick question.
Sure.
I'm looking for the Yankee radio station down in Rhinebeck.
Yeah, okay. Oh, so I'm going to recommend you to another station. I see. That doesn't make a great deal of sense for me as a person on WMC. I'm not sure who's on where the Yankees are. You probably get them right out of New York, right?
In Rhinebeck, I imagine, if nothing else, WFAN, that's the Yankee station,
booms in
all over the country. Yeah. So you can do that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for promoting another station. That was trying to avoid
thanks
that.
A lot, Ray.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay. That's terrific. Leave it to the paper man to
going out with a bang.
Yeah. All right. So, I'll tell you what. We only have a minute and a half here to go. If you want to jump in, you can. Otherwise, we go over to Brittany Devane for something. Prediction? Promotion?
Wow.
What do you want to do?
Okay. This is my brain on short notice here. What's up?
Giants draft pick.
Oh.
Do they draft a quarterback in the first round? They have a 6 and a 17. Do they draft one?
Yes. It is now or never, my friends.
Do you want them to? No, but
I don't care.
Do you think they will?
I think they will. Yes.
Wrong. Howard.
I'm not sure they will because I'm not sure other than perhaps Kyler Murray. There's a quarterback out there that I want to take that
high. That's the problem. I think they would, but I don't think – I mean, if they didn't like the last batch from last year –
They did like the last batch, but –
They liked Saquon better.
Yeah. He was the best player in the draft, and he's going to be, barring injury, a 15-year All-Pro. They made the right choice last year.
I don't
year.
Think you get 15 years out of a running back. If you get 9
– I would agree. They're just not good enough to win this year or next year probably. But I think – I don't like the idea that they're going to trade for Josh Rosen. I really don't because had a year in the league. I know he was on a bad team.
Terrible team.
But he wasn't good on a terrible team, and I know that's not a great way to judge someone, but I would take my chance by not trading draft picks and just taking a Dwayne Haskins. Take your chance with him as opposed to trading for a Josh Rosen. You're giving someone else your draft picks and, again, still taking a chance.
Do you get Haskins at pick number 17?
Yeah. No, 6. You wouldn't get him at 17.
You get him at 6?
Yeah, you wouldn't get him at
17. Well, we are out of time. Thank you to Brittany Devane of CBS 6, Ashley Miller of News Channel 13, and the Berkshire Eagles' Howard Herman for joining us today. Support comes from Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams. Offices in Amherst, Greenfield, and Springfield. Stavros.org for more information. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York, supplying the greater capital region with custom display solutions, commercial casework, and interactive exhibits for trade shows, special events, and museum exhibitions, empireexhibits.com. Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services at a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years, boydenandperrin.com. And the Discovery Center, announcing April programs featuring full moon hikes and morning meanders, a lecture on tick-borne diseases and exploration into the world of woodcocks, albanypinebush.org. Thanks again to Brittany, Ashley, and Howard for being here. Thank you for listening and for some terrific calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered by Susie Checkeye. Our producer is Jimmy the Hammer Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, you like the birds? You like the bird watch? We got a bird-watching Hall of Famer. His name is Richard P. Guthrie. He'll be here tomorrow. Right now, stand by for the book show.